Blessing. Thank you, teenagers. That was good. Amen. That was a blessing. Please open your Bibles to John chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse 31. And I do want to thank Pastor for giving me the opportunity to preach tonight. It's a blessing to stand behind this pulpit and preach. And preaching on a weekly basis. I thank God for our preacher and for his preaching every week. And he definitely, you can tell when he preaches that he's given his heart, that he's studied, and it makes a difference in our life. I do want to say also that I'm very thankful to everybody in the church family. Everyone's been very kind and encouraging over the last couple of days, last couple of services. A lot of you have said encouraging things, and I appreciate it. Abby, I remember about, 5 years ago when Kennedy was born, Abby said, "Alan, I want Kennedy's middle name to be Faith." And so I was thinking, you know, faith in general, like faith in God, faith in Jesus. And I said, "Oh, that's great. You know, that's in the Bible, faith, you know, faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ." She goes, "No, like Faith Baptist Church." So I said, "Okay, well, that's good. Let's go with it. Let's middle name Faith." And I knew this was a special church, but after we moved here about 2.5 years ago, being a part of this church for 2.5 years has made me realize why Abby wanted to name Kennedy Faith. And this is a special church, and our hearts are here, and the church family, there's great fellowship in our church. And I think what stands out to me about our church family is that the members of our church are excited about serving God. And that's a blessing. That's refreshing. It's just encouraging just to be here in a service as a church member and shake hands, and it's good. I appreciate the staff showing me around the church as far as the operational things of the church. Brother Joe has spent some time with me showing me some things that go behind the scenes. And so Tuesday and today, being at the church, and I will say that I really appreciate how the church is run as far as the operational level of the church. If you come here on a weekday in the morning and go through the building, the staff, the church staff, the folks that are in the school teaching, everything that's done at Faith Baptist Church is done with a spirit of excellence. And just to come in here on Tuesday and today and just be around the men that are on staff and the ladies, it's encouraging. I'm really thankful to be on staff, and I appreciate the fact that everyone on staff does things with a spirit of excellence, and that is how Pastor leads the church. Today was an exciting day, picture day. Amen. Brother Jack was here with the camera and had a little platform in the gym. And I wish I would have had my phone going and videoed some of the grade schoolers as they were walking up to getting their picture taken. Amen. Some of the little guys were strutting up there. The little girls were kind of, you know, throwing their hair back and all. They were styling and profiling today. And they got up on the platform and they were getting ready to take their picture. And all of a sudden, a little girl, you know, grabs her friend and then, you know, they're hugging. They're wanting to hug each other. And Brother Jack's trying to, you know, get them to smile and have a nice group picture. But it was fun. It was fun to see the excitement of the kids. And what a blessing. I thank God for our Christian school and just all the ministries that go on at the church. So I am thankful for it. All right, John chapter 20 and verse number 31. This verse is going to introduce our lesson tonight. And let's look at this verse. This is really the key verse in the entire Gospel of John. This verse tells us why John wrote the Gospel, why the Lord led John to write the Gospel of John. Right here, the Bible says in John 20 and verse number 31, "But these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name." Tonight for our Bible study, we're going to look at Jesus Christ, the eternal Word. Jesus Christ, the eternal Word. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get into the Bible study. Heavenly Father, thank You for the opportunity to be here tonight at church. Lord, thank You for what we've already experienced, Lord, the singing, the time of prayer. And Lord, right now, I pray that You would help us during the Bible study. Please give me grace, Lord, to preach Your Word. I pray for everyone here to have grace to receive the lesson. And I do pray that You would bless Pastor as he's probably preaching his revival right now. Bless in that service. And God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for all that You do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thinking about this verse that John wrote, John really wrote the purpose of the Gospel of John in this verse. "But these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name." And really the entire Gospel of John is about Jesus. It's about Jesus Christ. This verse is the mission statement. At the warehouse where I worked for the past 2.5 years, they had a mission statement posted right above the break room. So if you're going to go on your lunch break and you're walking over to the break room, you look up above and it was three sentences that was supposed to define our company, our facility. It was three sentences that always reminded us, okay, you know, why are we here? What job are we trying to do? And they kept that mission statement in front of us. And this verse is really the mission statement for this book of the Bible. When you read John, it strengthens your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read the Gospel of John, you find the miracles of Christ. When you read the Gospel of John, you find Jesus leading people to Himself. People are being saved. And it's really a faith-building book. I think in the handout, Jesus is number one there. The Gospel of John is all about Jesus. And John is a faith-building book. So when you read John, your faith is going to increase. Your faith is going to, yes. We haven't passed them out yet. Well, praise the Lord, now is a great time to pass out the handout. Amen. So, amen. Now is where I wish I had a couple of jokes printed out and we could go to a couple of jokes. Amen. I do know a couple of knock-knock jokes that Kennedy has told me, but I'm not going to tell those right now because I don't think they would go real well. Please, go ahead and when you get your hand out, number one is the Gospel of John is all about Jesus. And then John is a faith-building book. And I do want to say this while they're passing out the handouts. You know, when you're going through your Bible reading, sometimes I find that in the Old Testament, some of the books in the Old Testament can be difficult as you're reading through them. You know, if you read four chapters a day and you're, in the book, pick a book in the Old Testament where it's kind of difficult, and you folks know what I'm talking about. It can get a little bit dry in some parts. It's helpful if you mix up your Bible reading a little bit, and if it's kind of dry in one book of the Bible, go to the Gospel of John and just read one chapter. Man, you go to John, and all of a sudden, you know, Jesus is talking to somebody, and somebody gets saved. Or Jesus goes and He works a miracle and He does something. And so I encourage you in those books in the Old Testament where it can be a challenge. Mix it up with the New Testament. Go and read one chapter of the New Testament and be encouraged by that. So John is about Jesus. John is a faith-building book. Let's go to the first chapter in John, John chapter 1. And this is really going to be the key verses of the lesson tonight. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. John chapter 1, and we'll look at the first five verses. If you can please read verse 2 and verse 4 with me. John chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. You join in on verses 2 and 4. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." You'll notice in verse 1, Word, that Word is capitalized. Word is three times in verse number 1. All three times in verse 1, it's capitalized. That's because it is referring to Jesus Christ. One of the titles for Jesus in the Bible is the Word. It's literally one of His names. It's literally one of His titles. Turn over to Revelation 19, the very end of your Bible. Revelation 19. We'll look at a couple of passages where Jesus is referred to as the Word. Revelation 19 and verse number 11. Revelation 19, verse 11, and we'll read verses 11 through 13 here. The Bible says here, Revelation 19, verse 11, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called," look at the last phrase, "the Word of God." When Jesus comes back and leads the armies of heaven and takes over the kingdoms of the world, the name, the title that he has at that moment is the Word of God. That's one of his titles. Turn over to 1 John, not very far from Revelation. Turn to the left to 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 1. We see again Jesus being referred to as the Word. John 1 and verse number 1. The Bible says here, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled," look at what it says, "of the Word of life." So in Revelation, Jesus is called the Word of God. In 1 John, He's called the Word of life. In John chapter 1, He's called the Word. So Jesus is the Word of God. That's one of His titles. And the Bible says, the Bible teaches that the life of the Word is eternal. Number 6 on your handout, the life of the Word is eternal. So when we're talking, when I use the word Word tonight, I'm referring to Jesus based on these scriptures. Jesus Christ is eternal. The life of the Word is eternal. It has no beginning and it has no ending. Turn back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We're going to notice a phrase that's mentioned several times in John 1. I want you to look at verse number 2. John 1 and verse number 2, the Bible gives the phrase "in the beginning." The same, this Word, was in the beginning with God. You notice that phrase again in this passage, "in the beginning." Now, when we see that phrase "in the beginning," probably a lot of our minds go to what passage in the Bible? Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, creation. So it's so exciting about the life of Jesus Christ, the life of the Word, that in the beginning was the Word. Jesus Christ did not start to exist when He was born in Bethlehem. Jesus Christ did not start to exist when He was born and He began His earthly ministries. The life of Jesus is different than the life of any other man. The life of Jesus is different than the life of any other religious leader. And you think about the religious leaders of other religions. Islam has Muhammad, and the Mormons have Joseph Smith, and the Buddhists have the Dalai Lama, and the Catholics have a Pope. But all of those leaders, their life had a starting point, and their life had an ending point. But isn't it exciting that when we come to church, and we sing about Jesus Christ, and we open our Bibles, and we read about the Word of life, that the life of Jesus has no starting point, and praise God, it has no ending point. The life of Jesus is eternal. Praise the Lord. He's different. Hey, he's different than the Pope. He's different than Muhammad. He's different than the Dalai Lama. He's different than any other religious leader because he has always existed. Jesus always has been. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for our Savior. Man, today we can have confidence in Jesus Christ. Number eight on your handout. We can have confidence in Jesus Christ today because Jesus is God and Jesus is eternal. He is God and He is eternal. It's exciting. In John 8:58, Jesus was getting into a conversation with the religious leaders, and they were kind of angry with Jesus going back and forth, and they mentioned Abraham. In John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Jesus said, "You want to talk about Abraham? That's great. Long before Abraham." Now, remember, Abraham being the father of the nation of Israel, Abraham being the patriarch of the Jews, Jesus said, "Yes, long before Abraham was, I am. I already existed." In John 17, and verse number 5, Jesus said, "And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was." Jesus said to His disciples, hey, before the world was ever created, before this earth that we live on was ever made, I had glory with the Father. He already was. He already existed. Man, what a blessing that Jesus already was. We can have confidence today in Jesus Christ because there's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Jesus. Because Jesus is eternal, I need to identify with his name. Verse number 8 on your handout. When we pray, we should always pray in Jesus' name. Now, I know that's really basic. That's a really, really basic thing. But honestly, when we pray in front of our kids, and it sets our faith apart when we say, when we're praying over the meal and thanking God, and we say in Jesus' name. Man, that's demonstrating confidence in the name of Jesus Christ. And I want to say this. If you get an opportunity to pray for somebody that's lost, sometimes a lost coworker will open up and they'll tell you about the problems they're having in their life. And they'll say, you know, man, this family member is going through this situation and this is going on. It doesn't always happen. I know in the workplace, a lot of times when you're a Christian, And you try to do the right thing. It's not always, people aren't always patting you on the back and celebrating your faith, you know. But people, if you live for the Lord and you have a testimony, when people are going through trouble, they will come to you as a Christian. Many of you experience that. But if somebody comes to you and it's after hours, it's after work, or it's on break and they're going through something, and you say, "Hey, I'd like to pray with you right now about the situation. I'd like to say a word of prayer." And you pray with a coworker. You know what? It's powerful when you finish that prayer and you say, "In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. When you finish that prayer with Jesus and you're speaking of Jesus, it'll make a difference. I remember a lady that I worked with at the warehouse who was on our team for the power equipment. One of my clamp operators, her name was Nicole, and she had an uncle that passed away that she was close to. And when she got the phone call, I saw her on her truck, and man, the tears were, she was just crying. She was really a mess, and she was distraught over the loss of a family member. And it's hard. It's hard to be on the job, and you hear news like, oh man, you know, a family member passed away, something happened. And so she's going through this, and I felt led of the Lord to just say a prayer with her. And she couldn't get any work done. She was just thinking about that. And I said, "Nicole, let me pray for you." And so I prayed, and I watched God do something special. I don't know if Nicole is saved or not. She's talked about church. But I watched the Lord work in the life of perhaps a lost lady, and just the grace of God to calm her down, to help her get back to work. And I remember thinking, you know what, I'm going to make sure that I pray in Jesus' name. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. There's grace in the name, just the name of Jesus, there is power. When we pray, we ought to pray in His name. There's a guy at the warehouse, Carl, who is a supervisor, a good guy, and he supervises the tea accounts. And so they have some tea that they distribute, and they'll have a meal, and he'll say, "All right, we're going to feed everybody today," and he'll feed his crew. And I appreciate Carl. He always has some fun with his crew, and he'll say, "All right, guys, who's going to pray over the meal today? Who's going to pray?" And, you know, everybody kind of looks up, and they pick the guy on the crew that's kind of a clown, and they'll be like, "All right, Keon's going to pray," and everybody laughs, and they're like, "No, Keon's not going to pray." So then Carl goes, "All right, everybody, bow your head." And I appreciate Carl, who is a born-again Christian, who at work, he said, "We're going to pray for the meal," and he prayed in Jesus' name. And as a Christian, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, man, praise the Lord. What a blessing that somebody just to hear the name of Jesus out in public amongst lost people. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in that name. That's a name that is encouraging. It's uplifting. And there's just so much power in that. So, hey, when you're around lost people, I just encourage you, you know, have that testimony that pray for your lost coworkers. And just try to make a difference. It's not, you can't always pray in every situation at work. Obviously, you have to be careful about that. But there's power in His name. I can remember at work, our general manager, he said, okay, we're going to do something today. We're going to start doing this once a week for several weeks. And we want you to come up in front of everybody and give your three core values. And so we had to speak in front of everybody in the warehouse and say, you know, what our three core values were. There's about 120 people there. So they did about 10 people a week. And there was three other born-again Christians at the warehouse where I worked that are outspoken Christians. And I was encouraged because when they got up to give their core values, the first thing that they said was faith in God. Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. Man, I heard that. And I was able to follow in their example and just speak a word. And you know what? How encouraging that is. Just the name of Jesus. Hey, we shouldn't be ashamed of that name. It's the most wonderful name there is. There's power in the name of Jesus. So we can have confidence in Jesus Christ because of the life of the Word. It's eternal life. Jesus is eternal. I also want you to notice the power of the Word. Look at John 1 and verse number 3. Right here, the Bible says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. We see that first phrase, all things were made by Him. And I'm excited to say tonight that when the Bible says all things were made by Him, all things were made by Jesus, the Bible means exactly what it says. Everything that we know on this earth, everything that we know in the galaxies, and every time we look out into the stars, everything in this world was spoken into existence by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I'm glad tonight that I don't believe in evolution. I'm glad tonight that we don't hear theistic evolution. I'm glad tonight that so much of the lies that permeate our society, we open the Bible tonight and say, in the beginning of time, Jesus said, let there be light, and there was light. The power of the Word. The power of the Word in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. Verse 3, all things were made by Him. Please turn to Genesis chapter 1. In your Bible, we look at the creative week. Genesis chapter 1. Let's read verses 1 and 2 of Genesis 1 as we think about our Savior and the fact that He created our world and everything in it. Genesis chapter 1. And verses 1 and 2. Just about anybody could stand and quote these verses. Familiar verses. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So here in the beginning, the earth, the Bible says, was without form. It was void. It was empty. It was dark. It was not a place that we could live on yet. It was not an inhabitable place. And I want you to think about this. This earth, before the Spirit of God came, this earth, before the Word of God came, is a good picture of a life that is without Jesus Christ. Because before God showed up, the earth was dark, the earth was cold, the earth was lifeless, and the earth, honestly, did not bring glory to God. And that's a picture of a lost person that doesn't have Christ in their life. You know, before we got saved, in our heart there was emptiness. Before we got saved, in our heart there was darkness. And what we needed more than anything else in our life was for the Spirit of God to come and give us life. And in Genesis chapter 1, here the earth is dark, the earth is lifeless, the earth is barren. And the Bible teaches that the triune God, Jehovah God, shows up in Genesis chapter 1 and begins to create everything. Now, we know that God is a Trinity. And the triune God was present and did a work. Look at verse number 26. Verse number 26 of Genesis 1. And God said, let us make man in our image. We see that plural pronoun, us. We know that God represents Himself to us in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And all three parts of the Godhead were involved in the creation week. Man, and how exciting to think about the simplicity of how Jesus created the world. Look at verse number 3. And when I pause, I would appreciate it if you fill in the blanks for me, okay? We're going to look at verse number 3. When I pause, you can fill it in. It says here, and God. All right, you did good. Let's do verse number 6. And God. Verse number 9, and God. Verse number 11, and God. Verse number 14, and God. And you get the idea. We go through that entire chapter. What happened in Genesis 1? How was the world created? How was everything that we know to be? How did it come to exist? Jesus Christ stepped out and Jesus said, let it be. And He spoke and the world was created. You think about that earth that was void of life, that earth that was empty, the earth that had nothing. And Jesus came out and God said, and all of a sudden the mountains began to rise out of the earth. And Jesus said, and the rivers began to run through the earth. And God said, and the earth was filled with light. And God said, and the earth, the vegetation started growing. And what once was an empty planet now was a planet that would bring glory to God. All because of the power of the Word. All because God said. And as we think about the power of the Word of God, and that the world that we stand on, the world that we go through every day, was all created by the spoken Word of God. Hey, that encourages us, that strengthens our hearts, because we also are exposed to the Word of God in our life. Man, when we think about the power of the Word, that how was this world created? God said, and it was done. And we think about the fact that God loved us enough to give us the Bible, the Word of God. We think about the fact that as a Christian, we have a privilege to open the Bible in the morning and read the Word of God, and that God would visit us and speak to our hearts. Hey, we have the privilege of attending Faith Baptist Church. We have the privilege of listening to Pastor Angel, preacher, week after week, preaching the Word of God. And praise the Lord for preaching, and praise the Lord for the Word of God, because that is what we need in our lives so much. Thank God for the Word of God. Boy, if there's anything that we need, it's on a daily basis to hear the Word of God. I'm glad you're in church on Wednesday night, amen. I'm glad you're here. That's a, you know what? That shows that you have a strong conviction about being in the house of God. Praise the Lord. I need church. I'm excited that our church has Sunday school. I'm excited that my daughters can go to Sunday school and nursery, amen. Finley's not quite in Sunday school. But what a blessing. We have the Word of God. It amazes me how God's Word is so powerful that even when you read a printed sermon, God can squeeze your heart and God can help you. Pastor was talking about the Revival Fires newspaper. And he said, you know, there's an article in here and there's a good sermon in here. And he was talking about it, so I grabbed one of the papers and I was at work and I was on break at work. And the title of the sermon was, Let's Kill Some Snakes. And so I thought, well, praise the Lord, snake handling, this must be from the South or something. And I started reading it, and it was a really fire and brimstone, I mean, it was like a paint was peeling off the wall message, and a pastor that has been preaching for 35 years. And but I'm telling you what, I read that message, and I thought, wow. And I'm sitting in the parking lot at work in Joliet, and I'm sitting there reading this sermon, and just reading it, God begins to squeeze my heart, and God says, Alan, you know, you got this in your life that needs to get right, and I want you to pray about it right now. And I thought, man, my heart was squeezed reading a printed sermon. You know what? The Word of God is powerful. And even in a printed sermon, you can read something that's printed, and God can squeeze your heart. Why? Because of the power of the Word of God. Man, I'm so thankful that there is power in the Word of God. Number 13 on your sheet. If you've missed a whole bunch of them, that's my fault. Amen. But number 13, there is power in the Word of God. The earth was created when Jesus started speaking. The earth was filled with the glory of God when Jesus spoke. And praise the Lord that we got saved when the Word of God came into our heart. And I want to encourage you on this note, it's very easy to come to church and not to take time to prepare your heart for the Word of God to be given. I know I'm guilty of it as much as anybody. It's so easy to come to church, in a rush, and you get here, and you're it's a mad dash to get to church on time. Amen. I know what that's like. And you come, and it's so easy. It's so easy for me. It's so easy for us to not realize what we have in the Word of God. And I'm convicted when I read the verse that God's Word does not return void. It shall accomplish what it pleases. And that means that if I come to church and pastor's up here preaching the Word and I'm not getting anything out of it week after week after week, the problem is not the Word of God. If I don't get anything out of it, the problem is with my heart, that I haven't prepared my heart. We know in the parable of the soils, or not the soils, amen, the seed and the sower. That was going to be a brand new parable that you've never heard of. Parable of the soils, that's in the intertestamental period, amen. You have to do a lot of digging to find that one. The parable of the of the seed and the, you know what I'm talking about. There's four types of soil represented there. Three of them were bad, and only one was good. But the seed, the Word of God, did not have effect on the soil that was not prepared. And I want to say for us as Christians, when we approach church, you know, as we're approaching the Lord's Day on Sunday, there will be some prayers on Saturday night. Lord, please speak to my heart this tomorrow. Lord, please stir up my heart and help me, God, to get something out of the preaching tomorrow. There ought to be some effort on Sunday morning when you drive to church. We all drive to church, amen. Thank God for automobiles. You know, it's so simple. Heavenly Father, we're on our way to church. Help us today. Please speak to our hearts. Please do a work. But we ought to do something to prepare our hearts. Why? Because this Word is so powerful. And this Word is so dynamic. And this Word is what changes our hearts and our minds and our lives day after day, week after week. Man, I hate to think of what my life would be like if I was not in church every week hearing the Word of God. I'll tell you right now, my life would be a mess if it wasn't for God's Word. But we ought to take time to think about, you know, we're going to church. Let's prepare our hearts. Let's try to get something out of the preaching. Let's try to open our hearts to the power of God's Word. Let's try to pray and have our hearts prepared. Number 14, we must prepare our hearts. We must prepare our hearts. Do we ask, Lord, challenge me from Your Word tonight? Do we come prepared? If I go through and honestly, this year I was going through a dry spell. I was going through a year where I was going through a time where I was just struggling to get stuff out of church. It wasn't anything with the preaching, but I prayed about it. And you know, it was funny. It was that printed sermon in Revival Fires where God started to squeeze my heart and started to, I started to get more out of things. But I honestly think that I was not preparing my heart like I should. We need to prepare our hearts for church. We saw the life of the Word is eternal, and we saw the power of the Word. And now we're going to look at the light of the Word. Now, let's go back to John chapter 1. This will be the last point that we dwell on tonight, the light of the Word. Let's go to John 1 and verse number 4. John 1 and verse 4, the Bible says here, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Number 16 on your handout, in Jesus there is life. I am so thankful for the spiritual life that God gave to us on the day that we got saved. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. I know in my own life, before I got born again, before I was saved, there was emptiness. Spiritually, there wasn't a lot of life. But the day that I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, God imparted in my heart His life. And thank God for it. We're here tonight. We have a desire to come to church. We have a desire to be around the people of God. We have a desire to hear the Word of God because of the life that God has put in our hearts. He's given us spiritual life. And thank God for that. We all have been blessed with that if we are saved. And before I got saved, there wasn't any life, but now we have life in Christ. God describes the life that He gives to us as light. Number 16 in your handout. God describes the life that He gives to us as light. In verse 9 of this same chapter, John 1 and verse number 9, the Bible explains how God desires to light every man's heart in the world. It says in verse 9, that was the true light, talking about Jesus. You'll see light is capitalized, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Hey, it is the desire of Jesus Christ. It's the desire of God to light everyone's heart in the world. He wants everyone to be saved. And God, when God gave us life when we were born again, it was almost like a candle of our heart was lit. It was almost like God came with a candle came with a match and lit the candle of our heart and gave us life. He calls that life light. In Matthew 5, Jesus talked about the light shining. Hey, God, He lit a candle in our heart. He gave us life. And our light is supposed to shine before men. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If I had a candle up here tonight and I had a candle in my hand, if I was to ask the ushers to turn off all the lights and it was dark in here, we're not going to do that. Amen. But if I did that and I had one little candle up here and that candle was burning, that candle would give off a little bit of light. And honestly, that candle would not light up the entire room. But if you were in this room, if you were in a dark room and there was a candle burning, you would know that there was a candle burning in the room. You would know that some light was being given off. And as Christians, God has lit the candle of our heart with the Holy Spirit. God has given us life. And what a blessing to know that as that life shines through in our life, hey, the world is a dark place. It's dark when people don't believe in God. Hey, when you go to the home of a lost family, that's a dark place. When you go into work and with coworkers that are lost and they don't have the light of Christ, hey, it can be a dark thing to go into a workplace with a bunch of lost people, but praise God that we have the opportunity as Christians to let our light so shine before men. Hey, there ought to be something different about our life. Man, there ought to be life in our life that is different from what the world experiences. The world ought to look at our life and say, there's something different about that guy. There's something different about that lady. They have faith in Jesus Christ. Man, we need to shine for Jesus Christ. Number 17, God lit our candle so that we would shine for Jesus. And very simply tonight, hey, we need to shine for the Lord this week. This month, we need to shine for God. Wherever you're at, wherever you work, wherever your situation is, let your light so shine. Miss Denise Hegel called the church, and she was really burdened about a couple that she had been praying for. And Denise does hair for a lady named Denise. She had been doing her hair for 28 years. 28 years. And so this lady that she takes care of her hair, her husband, Tom, has brain cancer. He's been on the prayer list, and the church family's been praying for him on Wednesday night. And so Tom has brain cancer, and Denise called the church and said, I want to go by with somebody today and I want to witness to him. A Catholic man. The priest had already been to the home and given him his last rites. The Catholic faith, that's what they believe. You have to have your last rites from the priest in order to go to heaven. So the priest had been there. The last time that Denise tried to witness to Tom and Denise, they rejected the gospel. They said they didn't want to be saved. And so she said, well, let's go one more time. And if they reject it, then they reject it. But she said to me over the phone today, I want to try to witness one more time. And I appreciate Miss Denise that for 28 years while she was cutting hair, that she's been letting her light shine. And she not only does hair and takes care of her business, but she cares about the people that she's around. And she has a burden for their soul. And she doesn't only see it as a business, but she saw it as an opportunity to let her light shine before men. We went over there today. I drove over. And I met Denise at their home, at Tom's home, and we went in, and we honestly approached the house thinking, you know what? We don't know how this is going to go. This may not be a very long visit. They were not open the last time, but we'll go one more time. And we went into that house. His wife, Tom's wife, Denise, was just, she's an elderly lady. She was sunken down. She had a very tired look on her face. She looked exhausted. She hasn't been getting much sleep. And we walked up to the house, and Miss Denise gave her a hug and went in the home. The home was very smoky, the smell of smoke. We went back to that room where Tom was, laying on a bed, on his deathbed, brain cancer. Very evident by the look on his face, very evident by the family that was there, that his life was about to end. And we prayed, and it was so sweet because you could feel it when we prayed. After we prayed, you could feel the presence of God in that room. And Tom had once had his guard up toward the gospel. Tom had once said, no, I'm not going to be saved. I'm not going to trust Christ. But for some reason today, God decided to come and God decided to do work. Well, I know the reason. This church has been praying. And Miss Denise has been a witness for years. But Tom lowered his guard today, and Tom allowed us to share the gospel with him, and he listened, and the Holy Spirit was with us in the room, and Tom accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And I'm thankful that Miss Denise, for 28 years, while dressing hair, while taking care of ladies' hair, has not only had a business, but she's allowed her light to show shine before men that they may see her good works. And then that opened a door for her and I to give the gospel. Praise God for that. Praise God for our church where people can say, hey, we need to pray for so-and-so. Praise God that on the midweek service we have people here tonight that want to pray. Praise God that when Brother Mick said, all right, we're going to break up for prayer, people get into groups. Hey, when you pray on Wednesday night, your prayers are not in vain. When you say, Lord, help so-and-so to get saved, help so-and-so, God hears your prayers. God is working and God is moving today. And what a blessing. Hey, him getting saved, that's fruit to your account. That man's been on the prayer list. We've been praying for him for a few weeks. You prayed for him. That's fruit to your account. We had, our church had an opportunity to shine before men. That's fruit to Miss Denise's account that she has had a testimony. Praise the Lord. But hey, we have an opportunity. Every single one of us could talk about people that we know that only you know. Every single person in here could say, you know what? I've got so-and-so, this coworker. I've got this family member. I've got this person. Everyone knows somebody that's lost. And God has somebody for you to reach that He wants you to reach. God has somebody in your life that He wants you to be a shining light. God has somebody in your life that He wants you to be that testimony. He wants you to be that person that cares. He wants you to be that coworker that says, hey, you know, you're having a bad day today. I can tell. What's going on? And they share that with you. Hey, I'm praying for you. I'm going to pray for you tomorrow morning on my way to work. I'll tell you, prayer, we know prayer is a door-opening thing in the Christian life. When you pray for your coworkers and they know that you're praying for them, that'll help you have a good relationship with them. It will. I've seen relationships turn around. I've seen God turn relationships around at work that were bad relationships, okay? Nasty, but you know what? God can turn that around. When people know that we care, that can help us to have a good relationship with our coworkers. But hey, we are the light of the world. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14, ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Man, we have the light of God. The life of the Word, the eternal life of Jesus Christ is in our heart tonight. Man, the power of the Word. On a daily basis, we get to be a part of that power, reading the Bible, coming to church, and then we get to shine our light. Hey, God lit our candle so that we would shine brightly. We got an opportunity tonight, an opportunity this week, an opportunity in the months ahead. What a blessing just to come through a program and to see God allow our church to see people saved and see people added to the church. What a blessing. But hey, we need to keep shining our light. We have that opportunity. Number 18 on your handout, ask God to help you light someone's candle. Man, we went away from that house rejoicing today when Tom got saved. Denise was excited. She was crying when he got saved. And I was too, amen. It was amazing when he got saved. But hey, that's an exciting thing when God lights somebody's candle, when somebody gets born again. Ask God to help you win someone to Jesus Christ and rejoice in the life that He's given us. What a privilege that we know Jesus. He's a great Savior. He's unlike anyone else on this earth. Praise God for the Savior, Jesus Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. Hope the Bible study was an encouragement and help to you. We'll have a verse, the ladies play a verse of invitation. If someone's here tonight and they're not saved, tonight you need to be saved. With heads bowed and eyes closed, how many of you would say, Brother Allen, I know I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, raise your hand if that's you. If you've got that settled, nailed down, it's about every hand in the house. If there's anyone here that would say, I'm not saved, I'm not sure that I'm saved, please raise your hand. Please be saved today if you are not saved. All right, let's go ahead and stand to our feet. And as the ladies begin to play, we'll play a verse. Thank God that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Thank God that Jesus Christ has lit the candle of our heart. Thank God for the opportunity to let our light so shine before men.